The church is in Africa at the service of reconciliation, peace and justice.
The church is in Africa at the service of reconciliation, peace and justice.
This is the Africa service of Vatican Radio.
Welcome to our half-hour daily program for Africa.
In this edition today, our bulletin of church news that will be followed by panorama and then our feature of justice and peace. Today we shall close with our sports roundup. My name is Kanyanta Godfrey Kampamba. Pope Francis on Monday exhorted the faithful to avoid being hypocritical. This is a theme that extended from his homily during the Tuesday morning mass that he celebrated at the chapel of the Santa Marta residence at the Vatican. Writing in his Twitter message, the Holy Father questioned, "How do we root out hypocrisy? There is a good medicine that can help us not be hypocrites. Point the finger at ourselves and say to the Lord, 'Look at the way I am, Lord,' and say it with humility," he tweeted. The Synod on the Amazon region entered its eighth day on Tuesday at the Vatican. The deliberations during the 11th General Congregation took place in the morning and saw 180 Synod Fathers present together with the Holy Father, as well as other auditors, experts and invited guests. The Synod Fathers urged an urgent creation of a permanent and representative episcopal organism that would be coordinated by the Pan-Amazonic Ecclesia Network, whose objective would be the promotion of solidarity in the Amazon. On Monday, during the 10th General Congregation, the Synod Fathers considered rethinking ministry in the Church in the light of the parameters of solidarity. They said this is in order to allow the Church to be more formed by the Word of God. The Synod Fathers defined synodality as one of the challenges of the Church in the Amazon region. Sean Lovett has this report.
It was Jesuit Father Giacomo Costa, as Secretary of the Information Commission, who provided the summary of what was discussed in the Synod Hall on Monday morning. He listed several themes: dialogue with indigenous people and the importance of participating in their lives, protecting local people's rights and safeguarding nature. Participants at the morning session, said Father Costa, affirmed the Church's role of protecting and promoting the local people, of accompanying those without a voice. Ms. Josiane Gauthier is Secretary General of CIDSE, an umbrella organization for Catholic development agencies from Europe and North America. She said those of us who live from the benefits of the tragic exploitation that takes place in that part of the world have a heightened responsibility. We need to recognize that our well-being and comfort comes at a cost, she said. Bishop José Ángel Divasón Silvetti is a Salesian. In order to evangelize effectively, he said, we need to be familiar with people's feelings, to understand what they think. The bishop described the church in his region as one that helps people to help themselves. Bishop Carlo Vercelletti comes from Castanhal in Brazil. His diocese comprises over 1,000 villages beside the mouth of the Amazon River. His priests, he says, are few and aging, which is why he supports the ordination of viri probati, approved married men, so that the Eucharist can become a reality that is closer to the people, he said. José Gregorio Díaz Mirabal is coordinator of COICA, the Congress of Indigenous Organizations of the Amazon Basin. His organization represents 4 million indigenous people spread over 4,500 communities in all 6 countries of the Amazon. The Catholic Church, he said in his presentation, is the only organization calling for the world to wake up. Speaking as an indigenous person, he said, we will disappear if we don't do something. He spoke of those imprisoned and murdered for speaking out against land grabbing and concluded by inviting the media to help disseminate these messages, which is exactly what we're trying to do with these reports. I'm Sean Patrick Lovett.
Pope Francis on Tuesday named Dr. Gianluca Gauzi Broccoletti as the new director of the Vatican Security Services and commandant of the Vatican Police, the Gendarme. Dr. Broccoletti replaces Commandant Domenico Gianni, who tendered his resignation on Monday. Commandant Broccoletti was, until his nomination, the deputy director of the Vatican Security Services. He was born in 1974 and is a graduate of security sciences from Rome's La Sapienza University. He joined the Vatican Police Services in 1995. The Vatican on Monday announced the resignation of the commander of the Gendarmerie of the Vatican City State. The Pope accepted the resignation of Domenico Gian on Monday, calling his gesture an expression of freedom and institutional sensitivity. Devin Watkins reports.
The Holy See Press Office released a statement on Monday detailing the reasons for Domenico Gianni's resignation, which relate to a leaked document he signed in his capacity as the commander of the Vatican Gendarmerie. On October 2nd, several media outlets published the confidential order, which contained administrative limitations imposed upon Holy See staff members. The statement calls its publication prejudicial to the dignity of the people involved and to the image of the Gendarmerie. Although the commander bears no responsibility in the unfolding of the events, the statement reads, Domenico Gianni has tendered his resignation to the Holy Father out of love for the Church and faithfulness to Peter's successor. His resignation, it continues, is meant to assure the proper serenity to the ongoing investigation. The document was reserved to gendarmes and to members of the Pontifical Swiss Guard, and the person who leaked it remains unknown. Pope Francis accepted Commander Gianni's resignation on Monday and spoke with him at length. The Pope expressed his appreciation for the gesture, which the statement calls an expression of freedom and institutional sensitivity, which honors Commander Gianni and the work he has carried out with humility and discretion. Pope Francis also recalled Domenico Gianni's 20 years of unquestionable fidelity and loyalty, and underlined how, by offering an outstanding witness in many parts of the world, Commander Gianni was able to establish and guarantee a lasting atmosphere of ease and security around the Holy Father. The Pope also thanked Commander Gianni for his extreme competence and for the undisputed professionalism he has brought to the Vatican Gendarmerie. I'm Devin Watkins.
You are tuned to the Daily Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
African News Panorama.
The people of Mozambique voted on Tuesday in an election that could test a fragile two-month-old peace deal between the ruling Frelimo party and opposition rival Renamo. Some 13 million are eligible to vote in the presidential, legislative and provincial polls. President Filipe Nyusi is seeking re-election in Tuesday's vote. Osufu Momade, who assumed the leadership of the opposition Renamo after the death of the party's longtime leader, Alfonso Dhlakama, last year, is running for president for the first time. Most of the registered voters were born after Frelimo came to power in 1975, when the country won independence from Portugal. Renamo fought Frelimo for 16 years, from 1977 to 1992, in a Cold War conflict that killed about 1 million people. Under a peace deal signed in August this year, provincial governors will now be picked by the main party in each province rather than the government in Maputo. Meanwhile, 89 polling stations were made available across South Africa on Tuesday for the 147,000 Mozambican voters living in the country to cast their ballot, according to the Consul General of Mozambique in Johannesburg, Guilherme Simão Tamele. Opposition members and civil society groups in Guinea have vowed to continue their protests, outraged by a potential revision to the country's constitution that will allow President Alpha Conde to seek a third term in office. At least four people were killed in the capital, Conakry, in clashes on Monday. In a statement, the protest organizers, the National Front for the Defense of the Constitution, asked the people of Guinea to continue the fight until further notice with the same determination and the same sense of responsibility. Protests were also held in the cities of Labe, Mamou, and Kindia. President Alpha Conde's mandate ends in December 2020, but he is seeking a referendum to allow a third term in the West African nation. The rights group Amnesty International condemned the four deaths that occurred on Monday and said it feared there were more dead and arrested. While President Conde's government has been more tolerant than past administrations, Human Rights Watch has said it has banned dozens of planned protests this year. Police in northern Nigeria have freed nearly 70 men and boys who had been found shackled at an Islamic boarding school. In a statement released on Monday, police said the 67 between the ages of 7 and 40 were chained and subjected to inhumane and degrading treatments. Some of them told police that they had been sexually abused. They were rescued following a raid on Saturday in Sabon Garin in Daura local government area of Katsina, the northwestern home state of President Muhammadu Buhari. Police have arrested two teachers as well as the owner of the school. Last month, more than 300 male students were freed from a similar boarding school in neighboring Kaduna State. You're tuned to the Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
You are welcome to Justice and Peace. The United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization, FAO, published its annual State of Food and Agriculture report on Monday. The report points out that a third of the food produced every year for human consumption is lost and much more of it is wasted. The report shows where these losses are occurring along the food chain. Food loss and waste, the report adds, has economic, health, and environmental consequences. The report gives guidelines to help stop food waste because this will in turn reduce hunger in the world. This year, 41 countries in different parts of the world have not managed to produce sufficient food for their populations. They need food assistance from other countries. 31 of these countries are in Africa. In total, the number of people who do not have enough to eat in these nations is 120 million. Andrea Cattaneo is an official of the Food and Agriculture Organization. He outlines the report.
The report confirms that food loss and waste is indeed a very serious problem. In 2011, FAO estimated that roughly one-third of food was lost or wasted globally. Now, this estimate really raised awareness on the issue, but it was just the first approximation based on very limited data. So the report presents new trackable estimates for part of the supply chain, indicating losses of approximately 14% from post-harvest up to but not including retail. On the waste side, for retail and consumption, updated numbers are being estimated. So the new global number for both loss and waste, as we improve our estimates, may be 25% or it could be 35%. We just don't know yet. We only know losses. But even this range confirms that the problem requires action. And as we take action, we also need to be able to track progress in a systematic manner, which is what the new estimates are about.
Could you briefly explain the difference between food loss and food waste?
Food loss, as reported by FAO, occurs from post-harvest up to but not including retail. These losses can be incurred by farmers, processors, or those working in the transport and storage of food. Food waste, on the other hand, happens at the retail and consumer level. This distinction between loss and waste is useful because the people involved have different objectives. For losses, it's about businesses and the bottom line. For waste, it's about consumers' demands and their behavior.
So where does food loss and waste mostly occur?
I mean, food loss and waste can occur anywhere along the supply chain and anywhere in the world. In terms of regions, the results in the report indicate that the highest losses are in Central and Southern Asia, where it's about 21%. In North America and Europe, where it's about 16%. And the lowest in Australia and New Zealand, where it's around 7%. Also, it depends substantially by commodities. So, for example, for fruits and vegetables, and along with roots and tubers, these are some of the commodities that report the highest levels of loss. And another interesting dimension of a problem is where along the supply chain it happens. And what this report finds is that there's a striking variability of the level of losses along, for example, storage or transport. So you really need to find out the critical loss points in the supply chain to have effective action.
What do we need to do to reduce food loss and waste?
First and foremost, we need to be more aware of the food that is lost or wasted. This will enable action by us as individuals and by policymakers. Individuals can make a difference all along the supply chain. Take businesses. profitable opportunities exist to reduce losses. And similarly, for consumers, wasting less food often requires really minor changes in behavior and can bring a considerable savings on food expenditures. But individuals acting alone will address only part of a problem, because the problem is systemic. So policymakers will have to think about the bigger picture, investing in infrastructure where needed, informing the public about options to reduce losses and waste, and in some countries, reforming food subsidies that may unintentionally lead to more losses and waste.
How can curbing food loss and waste benefit countries and the environment?
There are three dimensions in which benefits can be had by reducing food loss and waste. One is kind of a benefits to producers in terms of the bottom line, being more productive. There can be benefits to food security and nutrition through better incomes, for example, or through the recovery of food. And finally, there can be benefits on the environment. So, for example, in Benin and Mozambique, the use of hermetic bags and metal silos has boosted farmers' incomes by reducing on-farm losses. And with that comes better livelihoods and better food security. In Kenya and Tanzania, the clean energy technologies used in for chilling milk have also helped on the income side, while also being environmentally friendly. And finally, on the food recovery and redistribution programs, these have proved quite effective in terms of food assistance. So, for example, in Brazil, there's a national network of food banks, Mesa Brasil, that served more than 1.4 million Brazilians through public-private partnerships. A similar initiative in Egypt, the Egyptian Food Bank, fed an average 250,000 people monthly. So people can make a real difference by figuring out systems in which food can be recovered and redistributed. On the environment side, to meet the goals of the Paris Agreement, essentially every reduction counts. And what the report finds is that reducing waste is always an effective way to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. So it's something that should really be taken into consideration as an option in terms of reaching the goals of the Paris Agreement.
Andrea Cattaneo, an official of the Food and Agriculture Organization, speaking there to Charlotte Lomas. The president of Rwanda, Paul Kagame, has warned that the African continent cannot continue to rely on foreign aid to finance its transformation. Speaking at the weekend at a conference of the General Confederation of the Enterprises of Ivory Coast in the city of Abidjan, Mr. Kagame said time had come for African countries to finance their development. He noted that development aid has been useful and continues to be useful, especially when African countries utilize it well. But this does not mean that they should remain dependent forever when they have the potential to be wealthy. Rather than continuously looking to other countries for aid, African nations should embrace more productive ways to partner with various countries and regions for mutual benefit. The conference brought together the private sector of several West African countries and covered various topics, including avenues for economic competitiveness and economic growth. The conference was guided by the theme, Creating a Conducive Business Climate. Speaking about the theme, Mr. Kagame said one way to create a more conducive business climate is to come together and share ideas and experiences and to learn from one another. But above all, the starting point is to ensure that relevant actors in both the public and private sectors get involved for the right reasons. Mr. Kagame called upon African governments to be supportive of the private sector and work with it in the process of eliminating barriers to doing business. And lastly, the United Nations High Commission for Refugees, the UNHCR, has reported that over 500,000 civilians in northern Burkina Faso have been forced to flee their homes in the last 3 months to escape attacks by armed groups. Daniel Johnson reports.
On Friday, the UN Refugee Agency, UNHCR, said that central and northern regions of the country had seen 486,000 people become internally displaced, 267,000 since July. A further 16,000 are now refugees in neighbouring countries of the Sahel, the agency said, while warning of an unprecedented humanitarian emergency in the making. The development comes as armed groups have intensified attacks in Burkina Faso's neighbouring countries, Mali and Niger. The violence has also spilled over into Benin, meaning that overall some 5.4 million people need urgent assistance in the region, including 3.2 million in Mali and 700,000 in western Niger. At this week's UNHCR annual executive committee meeting in Geneva, representatives from Burkina Faso, Mali, Niger, Chad and Mauritania reaffirmed their commitment to work together to help people fleeing violence in their own country and across borders. Daniel Johnson, UN News.
And with that report, we come to the end of this week's edition of Justice and Peace. This has been John Baptiste Tomosime.
This is a sports roundup and welcome to the program. My name is Kanyanta Godfrey Kampamba. World marathon record holder Eliud Kipchoge and world 1,500 meters champion Timothy Cheruiyot have been nominated for the IAAF Male Athlete of the Year Award. Kipchoge and Cheruiyot are part of the 11 nominees that have been named by the World Athletics Governing Body IAAF for the annual award, which will be decided on November 23rd in Monaco in France. Kipchoge, who won last year's award after setting the world record in Berlin, is a huge favorite to retain the gong following his impressive time of 1 hour 59.40 minutes. That saw him break the 2-hour marathon barrier on Saturday in Vienna in Austria. In addition, he won the London Marathon in April in a course record time of 2 hours, 2 minutes and 37 seconds. On the other hand, Cheruiyot led from gun to tape to claim 1,500 meters gold during the recently concluded World Championships in Doha in Qatar. He also bagged 1,500 meters Diamond League title, besides winning 10 of his 11 outdoor races across all distances. The Kenyan pair will face stiff competition from United States trio of world 800 meters champion Donovan Brazier, world 100 meters champion Christian Coleman, and world 200 meters champion Noah Lyle. While Brazier and Lyle won Diamond League titles in their respective races, Coleman is the fastest man over 100 meters this year. Other nominees are Ugandan world 10,000 meters champion Joshua Cheptegei, Bahrain's world 400 meters champion Stephen Gardner, United States field stars Sam Kendricks and Christian Taylor, Sweden's world discus champion Daniel Stahl, and Norway's world 400 meters head doors champion Karsten Warholm. A three-way voting process will determine the finalists. The IAAF Council and the IAAF family will cast their votes by email, while fans can vote online via IAAF's social media platforms. Individual graphics for each nominee will be posted on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram this week. A like on Facebook and Instagram or a retweet on Twitter will count as one vote. The IAAF Council's vote will count for 50% of the result, while the IAAF family's vote and the public votes will each count for 25% of the final result. Voting for the Male World Athlete of the Year closes on November 4th. At the conclusion of the voting process, 5 men and 5 women finalists will be announced by the IAAF. The Male and Female World Athletes of the Year Award will be announced live on stage at the World Athletics Awards 2019 on November 23rd. Kenya's Brigitte Kosgei is the new women's world marathon record holder. Kosgei achieved the feat when she clocked 2 hours 14 minutes and 4 seconds during Sunday's Chicago Marathon. The feat saw her erase Britain's Paula Radcliffe's time of 2 hours 15 minutes and 25 seconds that she set on April 13, 2003 in London. It is also a course record as she reduced Radcliffe's time of 2 hours 17 minutes and 18 seconds set on October 13, 2002. Kosgei's victory adds to the 25-year-old's win in London this year when she clocked 2 hours 18 minutes and 20 seconds and became the youngest winner of the race. The Kenyan, who clocked the fastest half marathon in history this year of 1 hour 4 minutes and 28 minutes at the Great North Run, quickly separated herself from the women's field as she ran with two male pace setters. She crossed the finish line alone with Ethiopians Ababel Yeshane and Jelate Berka, a distant second and third in 2 hours, 20 minutes and 51 seconds and 2 hours, 20 minutes and 55 seconds respectively. Coast Girls performance continued a remarkable weekend in the punishing event, coming a day after fellow Kenyan Eliud Kipchoge became the first man to break 2 hours at the distance. As you all may well know, people have expressed concern about Qatar's hosting rights for the 2022 Football World Cup. It's not for any other reason other than the scorching desert climate with summer temperatures that can easily go well into the 40s of degrees Celsius. In order to manage these temperatures, soccer's next global showpiece tournament was moved to November and December to avoid Doha's intense summer heat. This is on top of the fact that Qatar has decided to stick with the chilled stadiums in order to have future venues that would be usable year-round. And on that note, we come to the end of today's edition of our Sports Roundup. Until next week at the same time, my name is Kanyan Tagodfrey Kampamba. This is the Africa Service of Vatican Radio, and I am Kanyan Tagodfrey Kampamba. Praised be Jesus Christ. Laudetu Jesus Christus. Umusoma,